Father, this morning, we just declare that you are holy. Wherever you are in the church, if you feel comfortable, please just bow a knee before the Father. Let's just bow before the Father this morning. For all the saints and angels, they bow, Lord God, at your throne. Father, this morning we're casting down our crowns, Lord God. And we pray, God, that you would reign supreme in our lives. Father, I pray, God, that we will behold you. That we will behold the beauty of your holiness, Lord God. Father, I pray, God, that we will not move away from moments like these. But I pray, God, that we would respond to you and say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, God, our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that have trespassed against us. And lead us not, God, into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Church.
Just this morning when we had our quiet time, the Lord gave us the scripture of Gideon. And the Lord looked upon Gideon and said, go in your might, did I not send you? And he said to the Lord, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor, and I'm the least in my father's house. And we just felt that in the church there are men that are hiding, but that the Lord has invested you, a warrior, a heart of the warrior, and to stand up and to do wonderful things. But you say, Lord, who am I? And then if someone would ask you, you would say, stand back and say, no, I can't do it. But the Lord is speaking to you this morning, to the men, come out of your hiding place. Stand up and know who you are in Christ Jesus. And say yes to the Lord. And the Lord said to Gideon, then Gideon still wanted to make his own plan. Say, all right, Lord, I will do something, but I want to get a crowd to help me. And the Lord never calls a crowd, he calls a man. So I just want to leave this with you. Say yes. If Richard or any one of the leaders ask you to come forward and help, don't say, I cannot do it. You can. God has got his eye on you and he's going to send someone to call you and to stand as a brave soldier.
Amen. As the band is playing softly in the background, can I ask all the men in the church to stand up, please? All the men in the church, stand up. As men, God has called us to lead. And sometimes we just need a bit of boldness in our lives. So I'm just wanting to pray for us this morning as men. Father, here we are standing up for Jesus. Father, we're not just standing up for ourselves, but we're standing for generations to come, Father. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you would give us the boldness that we need, Lord God, to lead our homes, Lord God, to lead our families, Lord God, to lead our wives, to lead our children to you, Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we will come out of hiding, God. That Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we will lead, Lord God, and walk, Lord God, in front, Lord Jesus, as you have called us to walk, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we pray, God, that as from today, God, that you will shower us with your boldness, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And we pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we will walk with all humbleness and humility, Father. In Jesus' name. I pray, God, that we will lead well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Ben. Amen. Praise Hallelujah. It's good to be back. So I always introduce myself, and everybody's like, we already know you. And I'm like, it's for the visitors, it's not for you. So my name is Moja for our first-time visitors. Whoa, there's a bit of feedback on the mic. Thanks, Juan. It's an honor for me to be sharing the word this morning. I'm very excited to be part of what God is doing in our church, bringing in the lost, you know, saving, getting people out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and we can be a part of that. So, Tani Delestia, thank you very much for bringing up that word, so that as the man, we can just stand, you know, and go out there, bring in the lost people in the house of God. Who's excited about the season that we are in? Let's see. I think I'm going to be preaching mostly to this side this morning because there's more excitement this side. Great stuff. So I was in Poch for a week and a half. And everybody thinks that Moja was on holiday. But Moja wasn't on holiday. Moja just went to go fix his car, Cabbage. It's a little golfy key that I wanted to fix. I kind of did fix it, but then what happened was, I realized something. After you have done an engine overhaul, you cannot just drive like for 1,000 kilometers straight up. And I'm thinking to myself, but I can easily drive there and ask some of the people in church just to help me check if it's okay. And I was thinking to myself, I can ask Stefan to have a look at my engine. Then I realized something. He's most probably going to build me a gate. So that is not going to work. Then I'm like, okay, no, that's not going to work. I'm going to ask David to help me out with my car. Then I realize, oh my word, he's just going to sprinkle a little bit of beard in my car. And I'm like, that is not going to work. So I'm stuck there, and I'm like, who am I going to ask now? And I'm like, I'm going to ask Sister Liesl. I'm going to ask Sister Liesl to have a look at my car. Then Sister Liesl will just come and just be like, Moja, ik weet nie wat aan gaan hier, so, maar kom ons bid. So there you go. It's like, if you need somebody to help you out with your gate, we've got Stefan. If you need somebody to help you grow a beard, we've got David. And if you need somebody to pray for you, we've got Sister Liesl. Amen. So as I was saying, I was in Poch for a while, but while I was in Poch, I had the privilege of being part of a youth explosion, which is an event that usually takes place in Poch once a year. And the aim of youth explosion is to invite as many teenagers as possible and just to minister the word, just to share the gospel with them. And I can say that we've reached around about 350 youths that weekend. People coming back to the Father heart of God, coming back to the place where they just want to be with Jesus, their first love. So for me, it was like amazing just seeing a generation, my generation, waking up and saying, okay, no, we want to follow God. We've had enough of this world. We've had enough. And we can see that this world and this device is just to bring death. But God has come to give us life and life in abundance. So, and while being in Porch, it was just amazing, you know, worshiping with a lot of young people. Man, I can tell you. You know, when they jump, they can jump for hours. After the fourth jump, I was like breathing heavy. Because it's like, oh my word, I'm not used to this. Because I've been in friendship for almost 3 years now. And the thing is, why I didn't want to be so undignified in worship. I remember last time I was ministering here, I shared about, there was a poster that said, you know what, no shower Sundays. So since then, I was a bit conscious of my worship. How am I going to imagine, like, you see, in friendship, we do the watered down Macarena. You understand? So, but when you're in first line, you put all your moves, because you're not scared, because it's like, you know you've taken a shower. Now imagine, in friendship, it's like, then there's a wave that comes out. Imagine that. So I was a bit undignified also in Porch. And this morning, church, I did take a shower, just so that you know. I did take a shower before I came here. So it was just amazing. And with that story being shared, I remember once, you know, with all these things that's been going on, like the shower and stuff. I remember once, I went out for prayer. There was an altar call and I went out for prayer. And I'm willing to bet my life on it. The man that was praying for me had garlic, had tuna, and everything else that you can think of. And that morning, it happened that he was praying for me. And he's praying. And there's this aroma that I'm kind of getting, and I'm like, you know when you do this? And you move back and people get excited. They go like, more, Lord, more. And I'm just thinking to myself, less, Lord, less. So afterwards he asked me like, what do you feel the Lord is saying to you? And I just wanted to say to him, the Lord bless you and keep you very far away from me. But that's not... That's not it. But church, is good to be back home. It's good to be back in Franschhoek. Title of my message this morning is Being Selfless. Everybody say selfless. Selfless. Is it up there? Yes, selfless. So, this word, it's a simple word, but it packs, there's so much in it. And as Pastor Richard would say, you know, I'm just wanting to unpack this for us this morning. So, the word selfless basically means having or showing great concern for other people and little or nothing or no concern for yourself. Having or showing a great concern for other people and little or no concern for yourself. Moving the attention from yourself to something greater or to somebody else. And the story that I'm wanting to share with us this morning, we find in Luke 10, verse 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to them, Jesus speaking, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? So the lawyer asked Jesus, So now, who is my neighbor? And if you read the context behind what the lawyer is saying, he's actually asking Jesus, Who is deserving of my love? Who is deserving of my love? And Jesus puts this, love your neighbor as yourself, because Christ understands that we love ourselves. We want to do good to ourselves. You don't wake up every morning and say, I'm going to harm myself. You wake up, you make yourself a cup of coffee because you're wanting to take care of yourself. You take a bath, you take a shower, you brush your teeth because you're wanting to take care of yourself. So Jesus is saying in this word, in this verse, love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Do to your neighbor as you would do for yourself. Do to your neighbor as you would do for yourself. Whatever you do, you got to do for your neighbor. Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him, departed him, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest came down that road. And when he saw him, he passed him on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at that place, came and looked and passed on the other side. So, in this story, here comes a priest, and somebody has just been robbed. And this person has been stripped of his clothing, his money, his everything, okay? And now here comes a priest, and the priest comes by, and he looks at this person, and he's like, ah, shame. I need to go speak to the church about being selfless. And he walks away. And he leaves the man right there. And we would expect, like, the priest to show some concern for this person. We would expect the priest to be like, oh my word, I'm going to stop everything that I'm doing right now. And I'm going to fix my attention on this person because this person needs my help. And so the priest is like, no, I'm late for my service. He walks on the other side. And then what happens is that a Levite comes, a Levite church, where the Levites were given the mandate of worship in the Bible. So they were the worshippers. Now imagine, here comes this Levite, and he comes and he looks at this person also in need of help, and he looks at the person and is like, oh my word, I'm late, I need to go lead worship. Showing no concern for the person that is lying there, showing no concern of the person there. So this is what I'm trying to speak to us about, being selfless. Church, the Lord actually got hold of my heart and he said to me, just because, Moja, you're okay, you've lost your sight to those that are hurting and that are broken. Because we are at a stage where we're like, okay, we have received the grace of salvation. We are okay. It's like, in a sense, we are okay that we're missing everybody else around us. Because it's like, okay, now we are on this side and everybody's on this side. Somebody else will come and deal with this person, but I'm not going to do this. I am not willing to be inconvenienced in my life anymore. And this whole journey started for me in 2016 when I started working here at the church. We would have people coming in on a daily basis. And you know, when you are working, you don't want to be disturbed in the sense, especially when you've got deadlines and deadlines. And some people walk in the church and you're like, ah, no, man, just go to David. Just go to David. Just go to David. And then I realized something. And the Lord just took me on this journey. I remember I just went into Pastor Tianza's office once. And he was busy. And you know what he did? He closed his laptop and he gave me his full attention. And I was like, okay, something is wrong. I need to check my heart. I need to check my heart in this. Why can I not stop everything else and focus on the people? Why can't I stop and focus on the people? And you know what happened? The poor kept on coming, but they would not even budge. They didn't even bother to come to my office. They went straight to David's office. Why? Because he had time for them. He had time for them. And I'm like, okay, no. There is something really wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. So now, when I saw the people coming in, I ran actually to the door. How are you? Give them a hug. And then it's like, how can I help you? And they still ask, but where's David? I'm like, buddy, I'm here, okay. Ja, maar ik verstaan, maar waar is broer David? Okay, Uncle Dave, here you go. But there's this heart change within me that took place in that year 2016 that I didn't miss the people anymore. And so now, when the people come into the church, it's like, you know what, I can embrace them because God worked with my heart. God worked with my heart. You know, I saw myself as that priest and I saw myself as that Levite. Walking away, it's like, okay, don't inconvenience me now. Because I'm busy. But we forget. Christ was for the people. And is for the people. And we need to stop everything else. And focus on the people. You see, we can preach great sermons right here. We can do amazing things. But if we miss the people, then we've missed the bigger picture of God. Do we understand that, church? And in 2015, when we went on a mission trip to Malawi, I remember I was so upset with one of my friends. Because what happened is, there was this guy that was needing food. And my friend was like, you know, just almost done with what he was eating. And it's like, no, you can have this. And I looked at him and I'm like, but you still have more stuff that's unopened. Why didn't you give that? Why didn't you give that? It's like, but yeah, we're still going a long way. I need. I'm like, listen. Now you're expecting this person to eat your junk. It's like, if it doesn't cost us a thing, it's like, it's easy to give. But when it costs us something, it's like, ach, nee, ek kan dit nie doen nie. And this one, I'm just wanting to share from my personal life. I went on a mission trip and I just bought myself brand new Puma tackies. And I'm busy preaching there. And I see this boykie standing there. And the Lord says to me, give him your shoes. Get behind me, Satan. And you weigh that and you're thinking like, and I'm busy preaching, and I'm like, this boy here is not moving, he's standing right here. And I'm thinking, come on, Lord, you know, I deliver newspapers for a living. I bought this with my newspaper money. And so, give it. Okay, after the sermon, take off the shoes. The willingness was there, my pastor. The willingness was there. Take off the shoes. Give the guy the shoes. And I'm just hoping the shoes are not going to fit them. The shoes are not going to fit them. And he puts on the shoes. Perfect fit. And I'm like, the Lord has spoken. I've got to do it. As I would do to myself, I must do for my neighbor. I must do for my neighbor. As we continue in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, a hotel, or a guest house, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him. And whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So Jesus asked, so which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? So this word compassion, a feeling of wanting to help someone who is sick, who is hungry, and who is in trouble. So here comes this good Samaritan. It's like, I know I've got stuff to do, but here's a person that is lying right here. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Scripture says when he looked at him, he had compassion. It's like, okay, I'm going to stop everything that I'm doing. And I'm going to focus on this person. And a denarii was equivalent to a day's wage. Imagine that what you've worked for, you're now going to give for this person that is lying here. It cost them. It cost them 2 days' salary. It's like, but I'm going to give. I'm going to give. And whatever more you spend on this person, listen, just put it on my tab. Put it on me. Now imagine, church, when we drive out of here, how many broken people do we see? How many street kids do we see? And sometimes we just pass on by. We just pass on by. And I've been challenged and challenged and challenged. The more I hang around with David, the more I capture his heart for the people. I mean, like, when the lost come, when the people from the streets comes in, he's not afraid to give them a hug. He's not afraid to embrace them. You know, when I drive with them in Groendal, you just say, "Hey, David! Hey, David!" And it's like, "Where's Bucho?" Why? Because David decided that he's going to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community. And the people don't see David, they see the Christ in him, the hope of glory, because they understand now, listen, this man cannot give us anything, but he's got somebody that can give us everything. You understand that? So the people are like, "Oh my word, David. Then David's like, he quotes that scripture, you know, "Gold and silver do not have, but what I have I give to you in the name of the Lord." And all of us, we can give something. I usually play a game with the youth, passing on a smile. We stand in a circle, and I'm like, "Listen, I'm going to jump. Then when I smile at you, you stand up, and you jump, until everybody has a smile. So we've got something to give. We can give a smile. We can give a helping hand. Some of us think, okay, here comes the poor. I need to give money. You don't even have to give money. You can give of your love. You can give of your love. So the Good Samaritan is like, "It's going to cost me." And church, being selfless is not something that is done overnight. It's something that Christ has to work within your heart. Pastor Richard knows this. Every time when Liesl is preaching, the church in Groendal is packed. Why? Why is that so? Because she loves the people. She goes out, she ministers the gospel to those people. And those people pitch a church. So it's like, you know, wherever she goes, she is salt. She's the biltong. You understand? After you've had biltong, you're like, "Oh my word, I need water." So she feeds the people some salt. And then the people come to church to drink of the living water. Because that's who she is. She has become selfless. And this scripture is inspired from John 3:30, where John's disciples comes to him and is like, "Listen, you know that Jesus that you baptized, he's baptizing more people than you." And everybody's like weighing up a storm, and it's like, no, guys, no. In order for him to increase, I must decrease. I must decrease. It's like, listen, the more you want Christ, the more you need to go down. The more you need to drop your desires. The more you need to drop everything else that you wanted. And then like, "Okay, God, here I am. Use me. Use me. Help me become selfless." And reason why we can also become selfless is because Jesus himself was selfless. Jesus himself was selfless. And there's another scripture that I'm wanting to read. And it's in Mark 8:22-25. And he came to Bethsaida, and when he brought, and then they brought a blind man to him. And he entreated him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him. He asked him, "Do you see anything?" He looked up and said, "I see men as trees walking." Then again he put his hands on his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored. and saw everyone clearly. So the first time, Jesus touches his eyes. And he's like, what do you see? And he sees, I see trees moving around. And Jesus is like, okay, come, Wakey. I need to touch you again. And he touches his eyes again. And what happens is like, I see clearly, I see people moving around. I believe that we need a second touch from Jesus also. To not see objects moving around. To not see trees moving around, but to see people. People, people, people. I believe if we could hear God's heart right now, it would just be people. It would just be people, 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 people. Scripture says this, they will know that we are His disciples by the love that we have for one another. By the love that we have for one another. Church, let us not miss this first of all. Before we can think we can go out and love the people out there. Love the one that is next to you right now. Love the one that is next to you right now. So that the people that is out there will actually see this authentic love that's going on in the church. And I want to be part of that. I want to be a part of that. What do you say about somebody else in the church when nobody is looking? We need to practice real love, church. There's a quote that I saw once, and the guy said, don't tell me what they said about me. Just tell me why they felt comfortable saying it to you. I don't want to hear what they said, but just tell me why were they comfortable just sharing it with you? I believe we need a second touch from Jesus so that we see people for who they are. This world is broken. We understand that. We saw that video that Pastor Richard showed us. And it moved me. It moved me. So now when my wife cooks at home, she doesn't just cook enough food for us. She cooks enough food for the people that's outside also. And we don't give people what we wouldn't eat. We give people what we would eat. Church, the challenge is there to become selfless. And we can become selfless because Christ Himself was selfless. I'm wanting to read the scripture in Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed His powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in the ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about His appearance, nothing to attract us to Him. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on Him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness that He carried. It was our sorrow that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we can be whole. He was whipped so that we can be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on Him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shearers, He did not open His mouth. Unjustly condemned, He was led away. No one cared that He died without descendants, that His life was cut short in the midstream, but He was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong, and He had never deceived anyone, but He was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's plan. It was the Lord's good plan to crush him, cause him grief. Yet His life was made an offering for the sin. I mean, like, look at this. Scripture speaking about Jesus. We all know that Jesus never did anything wrong. But He decided. Okay, He decided the sin of the world is going to be on Him. He's going to become selfless. Imagine this. This is Jesus. He's like splendor, people. Glory, people. Comfort in heaven, people. And Christ chose us. Christ chose us to be reconciled with the Father. He said, I will endure everything. Put it on me. I will endure everything. Just put it on me. For the sake of me and you. And how dare we not become selfless also, just as Christ is selfless, church. We need to focus. We really need to focus on what matters the most. And it's the people of God. It's the people that's not in here right now. As I was in porch, I saw one of my friends. Oh my word. He was the one that actually led me to the church. And he backslid. And I was just sitting with him. And as he's talking, man, I feel like, you know, using those that beep, beep, beep as he's talking to me. Because every second word is like F, F, F. And I'm like, oh my word, oh my word. And I'm feeling so uncomfortable around this guy. And I'm like, you know, Christ was a friend of sinners, but he never compromised. I can sit with this brother of mine. Because if I'm going to walk away from him again, what's going to happen? And I'm just sharing with him what I've been up to. I'm just sharing with him, like, hey, bro, like, you know, I'm leading the youth again. I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And I'm not telling him, hey, boyki, listen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you're going to die. Da, da. I'm like, I'm going to love this boyki back into the kingdom. I'm going to love him. And I'm just dropping seeds because his heart is hardened at this stage with the church. And I'm like, I'm going to love you, bro. I'm going to love you so much. And I'm willing to spend time with you. Yes, you are swearing. Yes, you are smoking in front of me. Yes, you are drinking in front of me. But I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to spend time with you. Yes, it's easier to have a bra with all my safe friends because, like, I know the conversation will be safe. The conversation will always be safe with my Christian friends. But they've already received the grace of salvation, the gift of salvation. What about this guy? What am I going to do? Am I going to miss him so that I can focus on my saved people? What am I going to do? Am I going to be willing to be inconvenienced and be like, okay, you're lying right here. I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to do something that's going to cost me. Because let me tell you something, I don't like it when people fluke around me. I don't. It grieves me. And it's like, okay, Mojo, just swallow it. Bite the bullet. Bite the bullet. Focus on this guy. Focus on this guy. So, church, that's what I'm wanting to speak to us about this morning. Becoming selfless. Because Christ was selfless. And the last scripture that I'm wanting to share with us is actually not on the screen. And it's of Moses and Aaron. What happens in this story is that the Lord is mad at the people because these people have been a rebellious nation. They don't want to listen to anything God has got to say to them. And the word goes out. The Lord says to Moses, listen, I'm going to destroy these people. And then the Lord begins to destroy the people. And Moses says this to Aaron. Aaron, run to the altar, get some incense and make an atonement for these people. And Aaron stands up, grabs his loins, and he runs to the altar, takes incense, and he throws it where the people were dying. And then what happens then? It stops. The plague stops. And Aaron is standing there, and it's like, I'm standing between the living and the dead. I'm standing between the living and the dead. Imagine that you decide this morning, listen, yeah, I understand, but it's going to stop with me. And I'm going to start speaking life now. I'm going to show the people Christ. Wherever I go, I'm going to be showing Jesus. I think we've spoken so much about Jesus that we need to start living Him out now. We are so full of Jesus that we can actually, you know, we must just keep quiet and just actually go live Jesus out. And you don't have to go to Kenya for a mission, Malawi for a mission. Listen, just go to Hunda. Just walk around town and you can give Jesus to the people. That is my heart this morning, church. What the Lord has laid on my heart. Becoming selfless. Can we close our eyes, please? Father, this morning we understand, God, that it is not easy, Lord God, to become selfless. But God, if you want to see your kingdom come and your will being done on this earth, God, we need to become selfless, God. And the best gift that we can give to you, God, we understand is a surrendered life, God. And God, this morning, Jesus, we just choose, God, to just lay down everything, God. To surrender our lives to you, God. To focus on the people, my Father. You say in your word, God, that there's people, Lord God, that are not in your fold yet, Lord God. And Father, we understand that this morning. That we are to be your hands and feet in this world. So Father, I pray, God, that you would use us. I pray, God, that you would make us a selfless generation. A generation that is willing to be inconvenienced, my Lord. So that we can see your people, God, that needs you. This morning, if it's your desire to just be like, okay, Jesus, I need to become selfless. Help me become selfless. If that's your desire this morning, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm just going to ask you to pray wherever you are and ask Jesus, God, help me become selfless. And help me not to miss the people that you have placed in my path. The people that you have placed in my workplace, God, let me not miss them. Just because they don't look like me, they don't smell like me. Just because they're different, God, help me not to miss them.
stand together. Thank Moja for bringing that word. And I believe it's a word for us as a church, and it just ties in with what the Lord has been showing us already. Just in the last few weeks, we've been trying to understand the motivation and the reason for going out and trying to bring in the harvest, and we would totally miss it if we didn't understand that the volition, the cause, the reason for going out into the harvest, as Jesus taught that parable, was that he was moved with compassion. Exactly the same story Moore just shared with us this morning. Somebody, three people had a choice, and one had compassion. The reason Jesus spoke that story in that parable is we don't quite understand in 2018 what it meant to be a Samaritan. We just think good Samaritan. But a Samaritan was a serious outcast socially and culturally to Jewish people. Samaritans were the people that were a result of an effort by the enemies of Israel to breed Israel out, and so they were intermingled bloodlines, and so they were extremely offensive to the Jewish audience. And so yet Jesus is making a point, and he's using a priest and a worship leader and then the unthinkable, a Samaritan. And yet it was the Samaritan that was moved with compassion. And so the Lord is asking us a question this morning. Will you be moved? Will you be moved by what moves me? And what moves me is people lying, proverbially, in the ditch next to the road. People's lives who are falling apart, people who are struggling with substance abuse, people who have got massive relational challenges, those are the people that are lying next to the road, and we know them. And so the first thing that needs to happen is there needs to be the miracle of compassion, but that miracle won't take place until we really ready to deal with this issue of self, and will you be selfless? So Father, thank you for this word. Father, thank you that we can bring the condition of our hearts towards others, towards our neighbors, to you this morning. Father, on the eve, Lord, of us wanting to reach out, God, we once again reminded that this will not bear fruit, Lord, unless we are moved with compassion for the unsaved, for the lost, for those that need your love. So we declare and we ask that you would make us your agents of love, your agents, Lord, of redemption, your agents of hope, the vessels that you use, Lord, to manifest yourself through. We ask for that miracle, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for a time spent in your presence. Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd establish this word in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Is anybody that has any prayer needs? I want to invite you to come to the front. We'd love to pray with you. Anything that's bothering you, we'd love to come around you and support you in prayer. Otherwise, enjoy the Sunday, enjoy the fellowship, the tea, coffee outside, and we'll see you next week. The Lord bless you.